move forward. Maybe just a little bit, just a little bit. That's the row, like right here, so you can still see the screen. So that row has an excuse. You guys, I'm sorry, I kind of have the kids worship, like, I was just about to say, like, in kids worship, we go, are you ready to worship? And they go, yeah! And the funny thing is, I was expecting a real loud yell right then. I was like, oh, wait, we're okay. So, but are you ready to worship?
Yeah!
Amen. All right, let's worship the Lord. This evening, we get to do something very special, and that is take communion together. We're going to do that now during this worship time. And we want to encourage you with a heart of celebration, with a heart of worship, to remember what the Lord has done for you, that he's died on a cross for our sin, for our shame, amen, that he's clothed us in his righteousness, that we might come before the throne of grace boldly and proclaim that he is the Lord and he is worthy of our praise. So we invite you now, just as you feel led, to come and take communion as we worship the Lord.
What a perfect song. Lord, this is blessed. Well, ladies, we have an exciting night. I can't believe it was just a short time ago that I stood up before you and said, we're just starting. And tonight is our night of communion as we already partake and testimony. I have just a few announcements. Our next thing that once we get done with the study, it's retreat. And retreat is just in a couple weeks. Yvonne is out in the foyer. She is collecting deposits, payments. The money needs to be in on Sunday, final payment on Sunday. So if everyone could, if you want to do it now or on Sunday, so make sure that we do that. Retreat has filled up phenomenally. I know that we're going to be blessed. I'm very excited. And then just one last thing that I want to do is I just want to thank some people because it's a big group. And I want to thank the sound girls. These girls are just awesome. The sound and our entire worship team is here, so we've been blessed by them. Our greeters and those women that you only see up front that are praying, and they are praying for you during the week. They're praying our prayer team. And then also our leaders and assistants, you guys have been able to enjoy them. And a special thanks to our teachers, for Marianne and Denise and Debbie. So with that, Debbie Bryson's going to come up and kind of MC the... You're looking at me like this. Look, she's going to be emceeing the testimony time. So, and remember what I said last week, if your heart is pounding, that means you need to be coming up here.
Hey, I was thinking about this time as I drove here, and I thought, I felt like pinching myself. How did I get so lucky to be able to do this? I mean, it's one of my all-time favorite things is when we open the mic and we hear from you. And as I was in the sanctuary a little bit early, and I passed by Sue, and I've seen her face, but I really didn't know her. I hadn't shook her hand and said, hi, I'm Debbie. And so we did that, and then I just couldn't resist. I said, tell me your story. And 30 seconds later, I was shivering, you know, and just her story just touched my heart. And sometimes we can sit next to each other or across from each other for years and years and not know what's going on in the inside. And this is such an important time. And in Revelations, it said that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And the Lord, I know, has changed your life. That book, you can't just read it through, let alone do a study on 1 John without it shaking you up and shaking you loose and changing your life. And then I look at the groups and the leadership, and I just know you've been nurtured and encouraged and prompted. And it's important for you to share it. In Hebrews 10:24, which is your theme verse for the retreat, it says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. And I know when I hear somebody's story, it just makes me stirred. It reminds me that we're all going through the same things. And we need each other so much, don't we? Don't we need each other? It is so horrible to think of people being islands and isolated. And that's not true for us. We have each other. And so this is our time to encourage and stir each other up by sharing what the Lord did. And you know, we have 45 minutes. That's a long time, but no one can take 45 minutes. Just going to do a little math on that. And so I want to do two things as I invite you up. I want to, first of all, say that you can't take forever. But also, on the other hand, say, don't steal the heart out of what you have to say. Don't shut it, cut it so short you don't say anything. But don't tell us all the details, I guess. That's, we don't have time for that. So really, truly, that's a good sign if your heart's pounding and you know you have a story. And you have a God story. So somebody's got to be first. Somebody's got to be brave and break the ice. Who are you? God bless you. Come on down. I had a feeling it was going to be you. I keep bumping into her. She's, just her smile is a walking testimony.
God bless you. My name is Sarah Montano. And actually, God has blessed me so much. And actually, I just want to make it brief. I spoke with Debbie and actually a little bit with Denise that I'm going through a divorce. And God just put this Bible study right in the perfect timing. I go, thank God, because I felt that I needed, you know, fellowship and everything. And it was just a perfect timing. And I thank God for everybody and for Paz and Rose that wore our t-shirts. And we had a really great time. And I learned a lot. And I want to share this with you because I was doing a Bible study, my Bible study. And I pray before my Bible studies. And so I was praying. I said, God, I probably should go to a Hispanic church so you can use me. I have a potential to be used in English. It's like, I don't feel that comfortable, you know, and stuff. And then somehow he revealed it to me that I needed to continue with this study so I can improve my English, so I can share with my friends at work. And now I can share with my friends at work way better. And I was like, I with my mom. And I was with my girlfriend. I said, yeah, because he'll never leave you or forsake you. And I was going on and on about it. And I go, oh my God. I go, thank you, Lord. And she was like, to me, looking at me, and also share with my supervisor, my other friend. And actually, I, not to brag about it, but I feel this is a compliment that I've gotten ever in my life, that I was sharing about the joy in my heart and how I was worshiping the Lord. And the girl said, I want what she has. And then I said, I have Jesus in my heart. I have Jesus in my heart. I said like that, and she's like, okay, I don't want it. But I'm praying. But I'm praying for them because they don't know the Lord and they don't want the Lord, but I'm praying for them. And I just thank God for this Bible study because it was such an awesome blessing to me. And my English has improved about the Word of God, and thank God. And I do pray in English by myself in English. I mean, I pray at night in English so I can improve it. And thanks for Davey and Denise and everybody that has prayed for me. I love you. Thank you. God bless you.
Now that's a testimony. Dolores, right? Sarah. Okay. Now, we all know it's Sarah. Just kidding, just checking. Sarah came forward a couple weeks ago, and we prayed, and she shared her story with me. And she was weeping that night, and then 10 minutes later, she was laughing like she is now. And interestingly enough, I have a brand new neighbor. And the very next morning, I went over to welcome her to the neighborhood. And 3 minutes later, she told me she's a Christian, and her husband's a Christian, and he's divorcing her. And, you know, sometimes you feel like you're all alone, and you're the only one going through something like that. And I said, oh, my goodness, a really sweet lady at church last night came, and we prayed about the very same thing. And we just said, that's wrong. And she was just lit up like, oh, my goodness. And she was so excited. So your testimony has already traveled to my neighborhood. Thank you. Somebody else. Yes, ma'am. Come on up. Come on down.
My name is Una Campbell, and I love the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind. With every cell in my body, I love my Lord. Last week, Monday this time, I was in China in the hospital. I went on a nine days tour, and I got a bad case of gastroenteritis. I went to the tea plantation, and they had a tea ceremony, and I got in there, and I had two glasses of tea, and the second it hit my stomach, I was rushing out the room, just barely made it outside, and all of it came up. I smiled to myself, I'm saying, I'm a very bad advertisement for this tea room, because I drank the tea and I'm coming out of the tea room and here I am, I lost it over the side of the rails. However, I was there, I vomited several times, and I knew I had to go to the doctor. And the Lord, I said to my Father, Lord, I don't know when you're going to take me, how you're going to take me, or where you're going to take me. And he said, fear not, I will never leave you or forsake you. And I said, thank you, Lord. And I had my peace there and then. I told Vern, you have to get the guide, I need to go to the hospital. And I walked in there, and they treated me like royal. I had an English-speaking nurse. I told her I was a nurse. She worked there. She was a supervisor for the ward, and she's been working there for 21 years. I told her I work in my hospital for 23. We were comparing stories. I walked in. It says, VIP clinic. I said, I'm very important. I'm in the right place. And the care was outstanding. And my Lord was good to me. I had to go back the next day. I spent 4 hours, and I had to go back the next day for another 3 hours. And we're leaving on Tuesday, and Monday night, my husband is saying, my tummy don't feel good. And I'm saying, Lord, he's my strength, you know, don't let him do that. He has to carry the suitcases and pull them off that turntable, whatever it is. But by 4, he was just puking up everything. I called the guide and he said, in 10 minutes, meet me downstairs. There's a hospital a block away. And we went in, and this is a public hospital. It looks like Union Station, triple time, the amount of people in there. But they escorted us up to the 12th floor. They call it the international unit. We had a huge room with two beds. Vern climbed into one, and I climbed into the one beside him because I was sick, I was tired. They treated him for 4 hours, and by then we got our suitcases. We drove to Beijing, and we were on the plane. But all throughout it all, I was not afraid because I trusted in my Lord, and I felt his presence, and I had my peace. And I pray, all you ladies, no matter what you go through, lean on the Lord, trust in the Lord, lean on his promises. He will see you through. Thank you.
I had to write it down. Bear with me, I'm a little nervous. Okay. If I could share anything about what the CR study has meant to me, it would be about God's faithfulness. What I mean by that is, this is the first year of being a leader, and I was so blessed. When I was first approached by Debbie back in the summer, I was like, no way. I am not equipped. I am so inadequate. I couldn't even think about being a leader. I ignored the calling until I had to face it with all, I'm sorry. I ignored the calling until I had to face it. But all the while I kept praying and hoping Debbie would forget about asking me. And then the call came. Debbie tracked me down and told me, okay, this is the call. I'm asking you to think about it and pray and give me an answer. I'm sure you each and every one of you have a special place where the Lord ministers to you. Well, mine is at the beach. So one evening I went down to the beach and went running, and after my run I just stayed there. And I went up on the rocks and just watched the waves coming in and out. And they were hitting, and as I looked down, I saw two big rocks in the water. And the waves were hitting them over and over again. And it was such a beautiful picture. God gave me such a beautiful visual. As I'm staring at these rocks and just listening to my iPod, I saw like a gold frame around these rocks. And it was like God telling me that he makes everything beautiful in his time. And he is going to wash away my sins and make me clean and to trust him. And that he will take me through this entire journey from start to finish. He spoke so loud to me, so loud and clear, and told me to be obedient to what he wanted me to do. Step up and serve him in this way. I notified Debbie and I told her, okay. God told me to trust him. And she just laughed like she knew all along. On the first night of the study, I'm in my group, and there we are introducing each other, and the ladies are talking, and I'm sitting there with such a strong tug on my heart, because you see, as I'm sitting there, I'm stepping up, reaching out, trying to reach out to the women, and totally being blessed, and having Candy as my assistant leader, I'm sitting there, and all I could think about was my sister and my niece. And you see, I am the youngest of 8 kids. My mom and dad have both passed away from cancer at different times. We have lost 1 sibling, so there's only 7 of us left in our immediate family. I love my sister and my niece with more than life itself. I would do anything in the world for them. And in the year 2007, it was a hard year for my family. A lot of issues, a lot of growing apart, and a lot of friction and turmoil. And of course, at times, without meaning to, we can all be prideful. And I got tired of trying to make things right. But I wasn't perfect either. So as I'm sitting there with the ladies the first night, I'm thinking, there is something wrong with this picture, with my heart. I immediately start asking the Lord to humble my heart toward my sister and my niece, and to show me the ways to reach out to them, just to love them where they're at, not to judge them, not to think that I'm better than them, but just to love them. The Lord brought to light a few areas in my life I need to change and start putting love in action. So I started reaching out to my sister and my niece and calling them once a week, taking the time out and just consistently doing it. I didn't care about all the things that happened in the past. I just wanted to move on, and I wanted them to see my Jesus. I wanted them to know my Jesus. And the only way I was going to be able to do that was through the love for him that I have for him. Well, about a month into the study, I was speaking to my sister on the phone, and our relationship was building up, and she drops a bomb on me and tells me that she started going to church and that she accepted the Lord. I says, by the way, you know. And I'm like, oh my goodness. And I just cried and cried. And I told her that I've been praying for her. And I'm not kidding, ladies, for 10 years. 10 years I've been praying for her. And I've been interceding for my family for 10 years. But they didn't want to hear anything about God. But everything's in God's perfect timing. We both cried like babies. And there are no words to describe how we felt. It was a precious moment between sisters, but now sisters in Christ. Well, you would have thought that was enough and God would have blessed me enough, right? But no, when he blesses, he blesses. My sister has a son named Dustin, my nephew. He's 18 years old, and I just love him very much. Well, this last year, he got himself into some big-time trouble and gang-affiliated stuff and with other stuff, and he had to serve time. So when my sister told me about him having to serve time, it broke our hearts. I know he deserved it, but when it's your own, it's hard. We just love him, but I just kept trying. I prayed for 2 things, that the judge, we didn't know how long he was going to have to do, that the judge would have mercy on him, and that the Lord would protect him. You hear all these stories, you know? Well, he ended up having to do 13 days in juvenile hall and getting out 7 days early on good behavior. So he got so that was another answer prayer. Dustin got out 1 week before Easter, and I texted him the night before Easter, and I told him he needs to go to church with my sister for Easter service and thank the Lord for what he did for him. So he texted back and said, I'm going, no problem. So after our Easter service, I was going to my car and I get a text from my sister. She tells me, Dustin accepted the Lord. I was like, wow, how amazing is that? I called Dustin and congratulated him and told him it was the most important decision he'll ever make in his life. And I asked him, what made him do it? So matter of fact, he said, it was time. This brings me back to the original question, what this study meant to me. I'll never forget it. Ladies, by demonstrating love in action to my family through the Lord's Holy Spirit, because I cannot do it on my own, there are 2 new members of the body of Christ. God told me at the beginning to trust him, and he will be there through the entire journey. And he will do things that would blow my mind. Unknowing to me, it was going to be within my own family. Here I thought he meant just within me and our group, but no, it is such an example how big our God is. Now would he have done it anyways? He has his perfect plan. But if I would not have humbled myself, I may not have experienced it with my family. If I can encourage you ladies in any way tonight, this is so deep on my heart, it would be to keep praying for your family. We all have family members that aren't saved. Don't stop praying for them. If you are not praying for your families, chances are no one is. We are called to be those women to intercede for them. This is our responsibility to the Lord and to them. Love them where they're at. Don't judge them. Don't push them away. Let them know about how that our God, our Lord, is so full of love and mercy. And we are to love them just like Christ loved us. Show them love in action. Demonstrate it. And you will be amazed what God will do. All I can say is, remember the picture frame? All I can say is that God completed the picture for me, and he made it beautiful in his time. Thank you.
Stay up for just a moment. I really feel like probably everybody in this room, your heart was touched. Come on up with me. I love what Jill Briscoe says. She says, if you take care of God's business, he'll take care of yours. And when we step out and are obedient to him, he works inside of us, but he works through us, and that's a powerful thing. And if you have somebody that the Lord tugged on your heart in your family or someone you love that just the Lord touched you right now and you just want to pray for them, let's just lift them up, you know, as a testimony. Would you pray? So if you want to pray, stand up and pray for...
Father, we come before you, Lord, on this night, and we thank you, Lord, that we're even able to come before your cross. We thank you for the love and just the faithfulness you show us each and every day. Father, we do want to hold up from the bottom of our hearts, Lord, our families. We each and every one of us, Lord, have a family member that's not saved. Lord, help us to continue to pray for them. Help us to intercede for them where they're not able to. Lord, and just help us just to love them where they're at and just to encourage them in you. Lord, if we have to humble ourselves in the areas we need to be humble, just help us to do that, to be able to reach where you want us to be with them. We love you so much, Lord. We know that you are faithful. We thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, the heart is pumping. It's really challenging. But my name is Rita, and I've been coming to the women's ministry forever. And since, Debbie, forever. And Rosalind called me, and she asked if I could assist this year. And this year is a whole new life for me. My husband passed away in November, and I had gotten calls before, and I said, no, I can't, you know, because PJ was just disabled, so I would care for him. And even before that, you know, the disabilities, but he's a husband. But anyhow, sorry. Oh, yeah. So, but anyhow, we met yesterday for the group leaders, and it's like, how did this study minister to you? I'm gonna be really honest with you. I've been just right now. We were just worshiping, and I was like, I would come here to worship as a wife. With you know, we all want more love for our spouses and our family, but you know, sometimes our spouses more. But I didn't have any kids, so it was always for him, more love for him and stuff. And I'm like, but Lord, you know, it's like, you know, I'm not there anymore, you know, so why? You know, I kind of had a hard time doing the study. I did it, but honestly, just, I did it because I had to do it. And I would read the word, and I don't know, it's like my heart was just not receiving it or is distracted or whatever it may be, but I don't even know what I'm saying, but Lord just used this. So what I'm saying is just God is just amazing, and he just tonight as we were in the leaders group just worshiping as well and just praying will carry you through the most amazing, trying times. And it's his word that will sustain you. And I didn't do the study all the time, but no, I did do it, but not, you know, in my mind, I just did it. But in my heart, his word just still always sustains me. And these women in my group and the leaders were just amazing. They're so patient because I was always quiet, never said anything. But they're like, why is she there? But I just wanted to encourage you that love in action, like for me, I go, okay, well, love in action is kind of like not there, but it continues. It doesn't just stop today. It continues every day. And if things just change in your life, it still will continue, and God still wants to work in you and through you to love whoever comes in your path, you know, whether it be just someone who's in line at the grocery store, or, you know, just your coworkers and your family and your husbands and, you know, just anybody, the unlovable. But anyhow, just be encouraged to stay in the Word. And when you don't feel it, just know that He is sustaining you. He is carrying you through. And it's faith. It's not always feeling. It's just faith and stepping out in faith. So,
okay. And her story, if you knew all the long version, you would know that many times she just took the next step. And her last statement, it's not about feelings, it's about faithfulness. And she is the epitome of faithfulness. And she came and served even when she didn't have the feelings. And sometimes it's winter time, isn't it? And you don't see not a speck of, well, if you live in Minnesota, you don't see a speck of anything. All you see is everything's dormant. Everything's, you know, just, you don't see life. And she's in that stage. But she just keeps pressing on. And the Word never goes void. And the seeds were all planted. So praise the Lord, Rita. Praise the Lord that you were here. Not just this year, but every year. Somebody else. Afraid you're not going to have such a big story, huh? I'll tell a story. Well, come on up. No, Candy, come on up. Mine's just a little story. Come on up. Well, mine's just a 30-second story. But I'm getting ready. I was supposed to fly to the East Coast tomorrow and be there for 3 weeks. And last weekend I had a retreat too, and just crazy getting busy. And then Wednesday I got the most outrageous, horrible, dangerous eye infection that you can ever have. And by Friday, he thought that maybe I would lose my sight completely. And so I had to lean into faith and not fear. I pressed on and taught the Bible at the retreat some of the time just like this. but the Lord is faithful, and I had to fight fear every time. When I went to the doctor, kept seeing blind people, you know? And that's a real reality, and I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful because maybe I wouldn't have even seen them had I not been so dangerously close. So I'm fine now. Come on. Just a little close brush there.
Hi. For me, the study, I named this study. I named it the 3 E's. And I've never done that before, but that's just what the Lord kept bringing to me. And it was encouraged, enabled, and empowered. And that's what I kept getting through each study as I did it. I was encouraged every week that I did this study. I was excited and encouraged. And then he enabled me to see the areas that I needed to work on, that I needed to love more in. And that was also encouraging to me, because sometimes we don't see that. And then he empowered me. And ladies, I just hope that you were empowered as well through this whole study, that he empowers us to love the way that he wants us to love. And he also put my love to test and wanted to know if I'd really put it into action. And I work at Mimi's, as many of you know, and I've always said that it's my ministry field, and I love that. And I've been able to pray with different people, mostly ladies from the body here, and you know, and that's easy to do, actually. And I've also prayed with some customers that I've gotten to know first. Well, there was this one day that this one lady came in, and her husband, and I'd never seen them before. And there was another couple of ladies at this other table, and I went and asked her if she wanted some coffee or something, and went to get that. And during that time, she was up talking to these ladies over here, and they were all crying. And I just heard just bits and pieces of the conversation of cancer and family. And I got that she was dealing with some type of cancer in her own body. And the Lord told me to go and pray for her. And I'm like, I don't even know her. And I'm like, serious? And he's like, yes. So I started making all kinds of excuses. Well, Lord, I'm busy. You know, I don't have time to just go over there. Lord, if you really want me to do this, then you're going to have to open up that door and just really make it clear that I can do this. You know, make her go, would you pray with me? You know, she doesn't even know me. And I thought, okay, well, I'm going to go to the table. And if it's all okay, and I'll know that it's of him. Well, I go to the table, and he's on the phone, and she's not even looking at me. I'm like, okay, well, he really doesn't want me to pray with her. So I go away, and I've taken the order and stuff, and he just kept tugging on my heart. And, oh, you talk about heart beating? Oh, my gosh. I was petrified. And it was like Jamie saying that song tonight, whom? I have God's empowerment in me. And so I prayed again, Lord, if this is really what you want me to do, give me the strength and do it through me. And I went up to her table, and I said, I know you don't know me, and I don't know you, but I know that you're going through something, and I sense it has something to do with cancer, because I kind of overheard the conversation, but I really don't know. And she's looking at me like, okay, lady. And I said, the Lord just wants me to pray with you. And her eyes filled up with tears, and my eyes filled up with tears. She said, would you please? So I just got on my knees right then and there, and I just grabbed her hand, and I just prayed with her. And I don't know who was blessed more, me or her. But I was so petrified. And I never asked her her name. And I prayed, Lord, please bring her back. Bring her back so I can talk to her and ask her her name. And she's come back. She was there today. And it was about, oh gosh, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks ago that she'd come back again. And I said, can I just ask your name so I don't have to, when I pray for the lady at Mimi's? And she said, my name is Cindy. And she says, and what is yours? And I said, it's Candy. And I've since then been able to share the Lord with her. Today I shared Calvary Chapel with her. And she has two more treatments left. And she just says, there is a God, and he is with me, and I know that now. And I just am so blessed by that. It was putting my love into action. And it's not always comfortable, and it's not always easy, but he empowers us, ladies. And I pray that you take that away with you from this study. Just be empowered and know that he says, call out to me. Call out to Jesus, ladies.
That's awesome. And sometimes we are. We're afraid that, you know, we'll offend somebody, cross over somebody's line. But at the retreat, I met Mickey and Minnie Mouse. Really. They were at the retreat. The people inside the characters. And the same thing happened last week. Minnie, and she's only about this tall, really. And she was talking to a co-employee, and she felt the burden, and this girl was crying. She asked if she could pray, and she prayed with her, and she actually got reported. And the same thing. She thought, oh my goodness, somebody could have told a dirty joke, and not got in trouble, but I got reported because I prayed, and then a supervisor came over and he said, "You rock on."
My name's Tammy. Okay, this is hard.
It'll make you stronger. Just hit.
Oh, yeah. You can do it.
Look straight.
Okay. A couple of years ago, God placed my niece, my husband's niece, who was pretty much a complete stranger, into our lives. We didn't want her going into the foster care system. We did not know she was autistic. She was like 10 years old. This is the biggest challenge of my life. And God's been really good, but this is, you know, I thought it was a really good patient person. God showed me different, but anyhow, I basically told my husband, she's got to go after. We had a whole year, and then it was like 6 months into it. I was like, no, she's going to go. And, you know, otherwise she was going to go into the other place. And I mean, I wasn't proud of that, but my doctors, I'm bipolar. My doctor said, she's going to kill you. There's three doctors, literally, it was. I was getting very sick. And after, I mean, she was gone, and I was getting very, very sick. And then I had it all planned out where I was going to kill myself. And then my daughter realized what I was going to do. So I talked to my doctor. But I mean, I finally was like, God, you got to change my heart because she's got to go. And so within like a 3 month period, because we were going back to court, and God changed my heart. I mean, we went to court, but Pastor Rob had a message, and he basically said, you got to realize these things are like bigger than you. You got to relinquish everything to God. You can't do these things on your own. And it was when I finally realized, you know, I was trying to do this. I was trying to love her my way. And I can't. You cannot love an autistic child. I mean, she can't love. She's not capable of loving me. You know, like it's, I don't know if anyone's familiar with autism, but they can't love you. And, you know, I have three daughters, and I'm a very talkative, expressive person. And so it was very, very hard for me. And so I felt rejected. I felt like a failure to have somebody not, you know, love me back. And it had nothing to do with me. So once I realized that, you know, I just needed to give it to God, you just need to really, that's the one thing, to relinquish it. And then this study, I sat with Marilyn, and she just really blessed me when I sat and prayed with her. And she just goes, God gave you somebody that's very difficult to love. And he has been the only person that's really been able to help me to love her the way God would want me to love her. And that this study has really, really blessed me to be able to love people only the way God would want me to love them. And it's just been an awesome study. So only God could help you to love people the way God wants you to love them. And so even the difficult ones.
That was a really vulnerable thing for Tammy to share. And that made it even more precious, Tammy, because you know, this is a safe place. And most women don't have a safe place that they can say, this is what I'm going through. Would you pull me through? And who better than Marilyn to go and pull her through and pray her through? And that's the power of the body of Christ. Praise the Lord for that. Thank you, Lord. And the power of the word. Amen. Okay, one more. Oh, don't miss it. You got something on your heart, don't miss it.
Yeah, like you said, when God tells you something, is that you need to, you know. Anyways, I shared it with my study group, but I want to share it because I'm like so excited. At New Year's, I'm not going to make it brief. At New Year's, I was all by myself because I had the allergies. I've been allergic for fragrances for like for so many years, since I've been 14 exactly. And I was going to go to my sister's church because we didn't have anything here for New Year's. And then my daughters went to Knott's Berry Farm to a Christian concert. And I was dressed up to go to church, Victory Outreach, where my sister is a pastor's wife. And I invited my other sister to come along. And then I got sick with the allergies. And I go, oh, no, I can't be sick today because I have no husband. My daughters are gone. And I go, oh, so I was like, God, please, please. So I was kind of hoping that I was going to be healed. So I got all dressed up and everything. God, are you going to heal me? Please, please. No, nothing. I go, oh. And then I went out, and the smoke of the fireplace made it even worse because I'm like, okay, give me peace, Lord, to be here in the house. And I changed my clothes and the comfortable stuff. Then I sat down. I go, give me the peace to be here. So then T.D. Jakes was on the TV, and I go, oh, I love that show. So T.D. Jakes was on TV. Then at night, T.D. Jakes, he's a pastor. Oh, you never heard of T.D.? Yeah, T.D. Jakes is a pastor in TV. I forgot the name of the church. Anyways, I'm sorry. I'm nervous. And so then it was like a special program. And then at night, he said, well, hug somebody. I'm like, and I just hugged myself. I'm like, oh. And I was so sad because it was the first year all by myself with no my husband and everything. And so anyways, and then I was ready to go to bed. And then I was going to start crying and complaining and saying, oh, God, I came because of my allergies. I couldn't go with my sister, and I have no husband and my daughters, and I was going to complain. And then I said, Sarah, like saying, shush. I go, why are you crying for? I said it to myself, and I go, but if you have the allergies, it's because God allows you to have the allergies, because if not, he has the power to take them out. And I said, yeah, that's right. And I go, thank you, Lord, for the allergies. And when I said, thank you, Lord, for the allergies, my nostrils opened up like they never have been opened before. And I didn't want to move because I go, oh, my gosh. I was like, and then I moved, and I go, oh, and I was like, I was breathing so clearly. And I've always been congested. I'm nervous. And I always couldn't breathe. And I was like, with my mouth open or to the side or whatever. And I was like, oh my gosh. And since then, I've been able to wear perfume. Now I can sit anywhere I want in the church. Thank you, Lord. When I went jury duty, I wasn't like looking for a place where it didn't smell, because I didn't care, you know. And I just thank God, because He has shown me that he loves me. And like David says, the other day when she was praying for me, and also the pastor said that these are preordained, or trusts are preordained, and he has made me so stronger in the Lord, and I love him, and it's like he's my life, he's my love, and he just made me so much stronger spiritually, and I can wear perfume too. God bless you.
Well, there. Well, I'm telling you, we love you, Sarah. That's it. Praise the Lord. We do have time for one more. Your divine destiny is waiting right up here. Okay.
My heart was very calm up till about the time you spoke. My name's Pamela Shattuck. Stirred me up. Well, I was thinking, Lord, what have you done in this time? There's so many things that I could tell you that he's done in my life, but for this specific time during this Bible study and how he's touched me and how he's used me to minister to others, I could tell you many, many stories, but this one in particular. First of all, in this study, I'm a single parent, and my son is away at college, so I'm at home a lot alone. And in this study, God speaks, we know, through his word. There are times that I would do the study and I would just weep. His love has a way of reaching those points that haven't been touched in a long time. And so he drew me in on this. And breaking down my defenses, and our defenses, it makes us a much more tender towards others in need. One of my ministries, I'm a kind of a quasi-missionary. I do things overseas and do things locally. I work with hospice, and I had one particular patient here recently who few people wanted to visit. She just wasn't really interested in having anyone with her. And the first time I went to visit her, she didn't really say anything. I sat with her, introduced myself to her, and tried to draw her out and ask her questions. She didn't really talk. And then I went back the next week and asked her if I could read her some scripture, which she wasn't really very interested in hearing that. Although I heard she had been a Christian, she just didn't want to discuss the word at all. And so I went back the next week and, "Mind if I prayed with you?" And I prayed with her and I said, "You know, there's a little scripture, you know, Easter's coming up." And I talked about Easter and I said, "Well, why don't we read a little bit about what Jesus was doing just before Easter?" So I read a few scripture verses. And then the next week I came and it was the week between Palm Sunday and Easter. Okay, well, what was Jesus doing in this time in his ministry? And so I read that. And then the following week I went back and said, "Well, let's find out." I had taken her up to the resurrection and came back the next week and read where, or had taken her to the crucifixion, and the following week read about the resurrection and his meeting with all his disciples. And then I got, she looked at me. Word had gotten back into her again. God was preparing her heart for the direction that she was going to go. I prayed with her some more. I'd sing some worship songs with her. And then last week, I got an email from hospice, and they said that she was actively passing away. And I thought, well, I'll get one more time to go see her. And I went to see her, and she couldn't respond. She was just unable to respond. She had a breathing tube, and she was laying on her side. And so I prayed over her and sang some more worship to her and told her how much God loved her and read some more scriptures, read about heaven to prepare her heart, asked her to release, you know, let the world go. And she passed away the next day. And I know God in all of our lives in so many different ways. I'm so glad he works in so many different dimensions and works with us differently in each one. If breaking my heart in these Bible studies will serve his purpose to help others who are who need to draw closer, particularly at those critical times, you know, here I am, God, send me.
I bless you all for sharing and for being faithful. And you know, maybe you didn't come up here to share your God story, but I want to encourage you. You all have God stories. And maybe sometimes would be good just to write it out, all you by yourself, and get a chance to maybe call your leader and share something that happened during the study, or share some with someone at church and say, "You know what, there's a new study coming up, and why don't you go with me, because this is what happened in my life." So that leads right into the fact that there's a study coming up here, and Denise will share that. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Good stuff. We are ending in time to let you fellowship next door in the fellowship hall and enjoy some food and just to continue what's happened here tonight, because I'm sure there's still a lot of you that wished you would have had an opportunity. So I want to encourage you when you go next door to do that. But I also wanted to really encourage you. I think you were challenged through many of the gals that shared to just, let's just take what we learned and let's just continue to apply it. I think God's really doing a stirring in our lives in that area of really loving one another and what that looks like. So keep going, girls. God's going to use you. I wanted to let you know that we're not leaving you with nothing. We've been praying as a leadership team on what was next, what was in store. And the Lord led me to a Bible study on seasons. And I talked to many women, and not only do we go through different seasons of our life physically as women, but also spiritual seasons in our lives. And really felt drawn to it. I think there's going to be a lot in there, a lot of application, a lot of just great insight. The gal that we're going to, it's actually going to be a DVD teaching. Last couple years we've been doing that for summer, doing a DVD teaching. Now this is a 10-week, so we needed to do a little bit of spring also. So Yvonne came up with spring into summer. I thought that was cute. So it starts the week It starts May 5th. And I think, did you get an interest card when you came in? Everybody has that. Okay, so I want you to pray about it. Think about that. If you're interested, to fill that out and let us know. I've asked Margie Hill to oversee the season study. So she will be the contact person for that. And she's also here tonight. And I know that she'll be available for any questions with that. But I thought it would be fun to just show you a little clip of Lori, give you a little taste of her and her personality and kind of a vision for this Bible study. And I know you're going to be blessed. I want to encourage you to come. And I know even when we start getting into summer, it gets a little complicated. We're busy. So it's the kind of thing that really pop in anytime. If it, you know, just come, enjoy the teaching. The Bible study is awesome. It's in-depth. It's good. So I would encourage all of you to get your hands on that. If you don't do this Bible study, just stay in the Word. Whether it's 1 year Bible or just in the Word or grab another study, stay consistent, stay in the Word. I want to encourage you for that. So girls, why don't we go ahead and, oh, and also I just want to, can we thank Debbie Cracchiolo and Rosalind Posey, who's done a wonderful job with the Monday nights. Do we have any of our day group girls here tonight? Did anybody go, yay, we've got some day group girls. So blessed by that also. So, okay, here's the clip.
It was a car trip, and there are five of us children, and my mother and my grandmother, her mother, myself, my four brothers, and one of my aunts would pile into a very full station wagon, and we would take off from Fort Worth to go to Mississippi to see the relatives for my great-grandmother's birthday. We all showed up for the birthday every fall. They'd take us out of school, you know, and we would load up in that car, and me and my brothers and my aunt and all of us would get in, and we would head to Mississippi. It was a 12-hour trip back then. Roads weren't as good. It was difficult to get there. We would take off, and we hadn't been gone for 30 minutes. And you know what? Somebody would ask the question. You know the question. It's that question that for all times kids on car trips have been asking. We've all heard it. We've been out of the driveway for just a few minutes, and somebody says, what is it? Are we there yet? And my patient mother, you know, she would hear it all throughout the trip. Each one of us would chime in at least some time or another. Finally, she'd hand us a map, and she'd say, well, follow along, you know, to try to get us to hush, to quit asking that question so much. Well, that's the question today that I want to ask you, because you know what? We are leaving this morning on a journey. We are going to embark, and we're not going to Mississippi, okay? And we're not going just a few miles down the road. We're going to take a 10-week trip together. And our destination on this trip really is, and I want you to know this from the outset, we're going to understand the seasons. That's going to come. You're going to study that. But y'all, that's not really where we're headed. Where we're ultimately headed, our destination is contentment. Contentment in every season of our lives. And that's not going to, we're not going to learn those principles until we get toward the end of this course. But I want you to know that's where this car is headed, okay? That's where we're going to be going. And so our destination is contentment. But do you know what? Before we can get there, we've got to ask ourselves that age-old car trip question. Are we there yet? Because are you there yet? You've got to get honest with yourself. I've got to get honest with myself. We've got to ask ourselves this honest question. Are you content? Am I content? I have to see, where am I now? If I'm going toward contentment, where am I right now? I remember about 10 years ago, the Lord got my attention. And I was honestly not being honest with myself. I was playing a game. I was just playing a game. And it was on a Sunday morning here in this very auditorium that God showed up in such a way that he showed me the honest truth about myself. And he showed me something that I didn't really like. It wasn't very pretty. I looked really good on the outside. No one would have ever known how frustrated, how dissatisfied, how unhappy I was. But I was. I was so utterly miserable on the inside. I did not know what was going on in my life. There's one word to describe me. Discontent. I was so discontented. And I was in church every Sunday. I taught very frequently. And yet there was a nagging discontentment, a dissatisfaction in my life that I could not erase. And I kept trying to run from it by doing good things. by being a good person and all these kinds of things, but I could not get away from this dissatisfaction until God confronted me and he said, get honest with me. Getting honest is a good place to be. And that's what I'm going to ask you to do today, is just to get very, very honest. God wants to teach you how to become a woman of contentment in every season of your life, but you first got to be willing to be honest with him and admit today, perhaps, that, you know what? I haven't got it all together. There are some struggles in my life. There are some things that I am frustrated with that I am just trying my best to either fix in my own power or to break free from, to just run from, to just escape from, or just ignore and bury and pretend that it's not there, which is one of the ways that some of us deal with things, isn't it? God showed me a repeated pattern in my life, and it was a pattern that honestly I had never seen, and yet it was just when God showed me and I began to look back, the pattern was so obvious, it was confounding to me that I had not seen it. But God began to show me that there were times in my life when pressure came to bear, when different circumstances came to bear, I was pretty good when things are great. In summer and spring, you know, we do real well, don't we? No problems there. But when the pressure would come, when struggles would come, when conflict would come into my life, when things got tough, I became just like those children of Israel. I grumbled, I mumbled, I moaned, and I'm really good at becoming a martyr. Are you? That's how I was. I was just a martyr in those situations, and I knew way more scripturally than I was practicing. I knew it was wrong, but I did not see it. And God showed me that pattern, and when he showed that to me, I had to get honest with him. As he got honest with me, and he said to me this, it's time for you to grow up. It's time for you to grow up. This pattern needs to come to an end. I need you to live consistently in me. I need you to learn how to be content in whatever circumstance that you're in. And I knew God was calling me to a new place. And that's when he began teaching these principles of contentment to me and the truths about the seasons of life that have just revolutionized my life, transformed me, given me a perspective that I've never seen, an appreciation even for wintertime. And winter's hard. And some of you are there right now this morning, and my heart goes out to you. I see you out there. Winter's easy to spot sometimes. And winter's hard. But I want you to know this. God has a good purpose for it. He has a reason for each season in our lives. He is using every season to conform us to the image of the Lord. Our destination in this journey that you and I are beginning today is contentment. And I just want to give
you excited? I've been having fun watching these at home and just so blessed. They're rich. She's a great Bible teacher.
She's our itinerary.
You're going to love her, okay? So sign up, turn in those interest cards. Either I think some greeters will be by the doors or there'll be a basket out front. Margie wants to get a count so we know how many books to order. So you don't have to pay tonight. We just need to know how many books to order for that. Okay, so it starts May 5th, and Lord bless you. Enjoy your, we've got about a half an hour, 40 minutes to fellowship in the other room, and love you, ladies. Okay, so God bless you.
But number three, we must come.